want to welcome everybody on this beautiful Sunday afternoon. I want to start out with a question, if you could just listen to me, okay? What needs to happen to you, I should say, what must happen to you in your understanding and in your heart for you to be born again and saved? Okay. Would you listen to me? Yeah. What must take place in you? Because if it doesn't happen, right? What must take place in you, in your understanding, for you to be born again and be saved? If you notice, I put those two together because that's what Jesus said. Okay? Let's not be in delusion. Okay? Please. Okay, what must happen in you, in your understanding, in your heart, in your life, to be born again and have salvation? I want to start with that question because we are in the very middle of Romans and we are at the mountaintop, okay, mountaintop. For those of you who's been working, laboring together with the church for less, we're actually into 8th month. Studying this incredible book that God has used throughout history, okay? I don't know whether you noticed that, you'd realize that. This is the book that God has used throughout history to shape Christianity and church, and it's called the Book of Romans. And I am not glorifying Book of Romans. I'm glorifying the message, the gospel, okay? And it's so interesting because, let me just quote Spurgeon, okay? Let me read this. This is what is forgotten in these days. This is Spurgeon, 1850, like 150 years ago, and nothing changes. What's forgotten? We must have more preaching on the Holy Spirit if we're going to have more conversion. Conversion means you be born again and saved. Okay? Not everyone is born again. And there's no question about that. Okay? So we need to have more preaching on the Holy Spirit. And I tell you, sir, if you change yourselves and make yourself better and better and better, 1,000 times, you better yourself and you will never be good enough for heaven. Okay? That's Christianity, right? So till God's Spirit has laid his hands upon you and till he has renewed your heart, what does that exactly mean? Till he has purified your soul. How do you do that, right? Right? Till he has changed the entire spirit and new made man, there can be no entering of heaven. Okay, that's true. Not because what Spurgeon said, but that's what the scripture states. Martin Luther continued to say, we need to preach salvation by grace and grace alone. You know why? Because you forget. We always try to add things. I need to contribute a little bit. No, no, no. Salvation is by grace and grace alone. If you try to add anything, if I try to add anything, you're going to ruin it. There is no salvation. It's all by grace. Okay? It's all Holy Spirit. How much? 100%. So here's the thing. What makes a person to be born again? Spirit of God in you. And we began to talk about the person of the Holy Spirit. He's God, and he dwells in you. And he's a person. Remember that? You marry someone, you live with your spouse. Hopefully, you will get to know that person for the rest of your life. And living in unity. You become a Christian, you live with Holy Spirit. Do you know the Holy Spirit? I really want to ask this question. You know, I ask this question, what must happen in you to be born again and saved? I think it is the Spirit of God. According to the Bible, according to Jesus, according to Romans. Okay, so let me begin. Okay, I haven't shown you this for some time, But I try to put most important statement or doctrine of today's passage with this picture of Colosseum in Rome, Book of Romans. And for today, set their mind on things of the Spirit. Romans 8:5 says, those who live according to the flesh, those who are not saved, set their mind on things of the flesh. Those who live according to the Spirit, set their mind on things of the Spirit. Sounds so idiotic if you think about it. Of course. But there is a clear message there. Okay, so that's what we want to talk about today. So last week we talked about life in the Spirit, and we're continuing, and we're focusing on this teaching and doctrine. What is your mind set on? Things of the Spirit? Things of the flesh? I mean, you know, I can't answer that, but you can probably. So let me begin. Okay, Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I explain there are two words that are added, which is not necessary, and yet by the inspiration and leading of the Holy Spirit, Paul wrote, there is therefore, which means reason has been explained in chapter 1 through chapter 7. And now, no condemnation if you are in Christ Jesus, which implies now you don't have condemnation before implying that you were. In fact, Jesus said in John chapter 3, everybody is standing condemned. Okay, I try to picture that. One of those movies, you are ready to be hanged, and you have this thing around your neck, and you're standing on a chair, and the prosecuting person standing there ready to be deliver the judgment, and basically he kicks the chair, and you fall. You're standing condemned. I don't know. I don't know whether that's a good picture, but I don't think it's anything less than that. Jonathan Edwards describes something like the two. You know, sinner in the hand of angry God. Only thing that is holding you is that mercy of God. Right? So, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Incredible gospel statement. No more. You are in a different realm. Right? For the law of the Spirit, or for the Spirit of life, Spirit of God, has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Okay? And I want to just continue a little bit more, and this isn't a verse that you want to pay attention. This is what I want to explain today. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. God has done something that we cannot do. Of course, that's Christianity. What did he do? By sending his son, own son, Jesus, in the likeness of sinful flesh, in human, and for sin, he condemned sin. Oh, have you heard of that statement? God condemned sin. That's the gospel. God condemned sin. Therefore, if you believe in him, there's no condemnation. That is the gospel. What does that mean? God kicked the chair, and then sin has been prosecuted, vanquished, abolished, paid for, killed on the cross. So you do not have to die. That's the gospel, people. Okay? God condemns sin on the cross, and the law condemns sinners, all of you. That's the gospel. That's precisely what I want to explain today. One more verse. In order that the righteousness requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. If you become a Christian, Spirit reigns in you, and you do want to live for the Ten Commandments. You do want to live for the heart of God. Not only you desire to, but you long to, you love to. Okay? That's Christianity. So today I'm just going to talk about the first half of next seven verses, And the transitional verse is this, okay? The one that I just explained. If you could just look at this. For those of you who live according to the flesh, non-Christians, those are not saved, set their minds on things of the flesh. Okay, that's all you do. That's the only thing you can do. Okay? But those who live according to the Spirit, set their minds on things of the Spirit. Okay? Can you just pause? Can we just pause for a second? Where do you think you belong? Obviously, we think about that question, don't we? Oh, what do you mean? All my life, I come to church. Of course, I belong to the latter group. Do you really? Okay, do you really? I'm not teasing. I am not. But I'm just asking you, because that is what the scripture states. Those who live according to the flesh set their mind on things of the flesh. Those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on things of the Spirit. One is in sin, non-Christian. The other is in the Spirit, Christian. Bible is very, very clear, isn't it? Unlike what preachers preach, unlike what we want to make it to be, it's very clearly delineating, clearly dividing. One or the other. Either you live according to your flesh or you live according to the Spirit. Which one are you? Okay? Because that's what the scripture states. Okay? Why is that so important? Just one more verse. For to set your mind on things of the flesh is death. You will surely die. Bible is clear on that. Maybe preachers are not clear. Maybe Christianity you accumulated in your mind is not clear. But scripture is clear, okay? For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Why is that so important? For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostility to God. I read a sermon this week by Spurgeon with that one statement, okay? One statement. The mind that is set on flesh, that's your natural mind without Christ, is in enmity against God. One sentence, he indict humanity that you are an enemy of God. In what sense? He explains, in every sense. You're a person, aren't you? Right? We talked about this. So what you think and you desire and you plan, we call that, you know, mind and heart and volition, your will, okay? And you are basically in enmity in your thinking, everything you do, according to Romans 8:7. Everything you think with me, people, and this is no exaggeration because this is what the scripture is teaching. Everything you desire is against God. What do you desire if you think about it? When you come to a place like this, I want to be recognized. I want to be on top. I want to be better than him. I want to be in the center. Don't we naturally do that? Maybe not all of you, but don't we naturally do that? The Bible is stating that what you desire and what you want is in hostility, enmity against God. Okay? Not only that, what about the volition? Your will, your desire, your purpose, whatever you desire, whatever you plan, whatever you're thinking of right now is against God. That is why. Okay. I want to explain what this means, okay? Those who live according to the flesh set their mind. What does that mean? The word is phreneo, okay? Greek word. And this is what it means. Let me try to explain this. David Brown wrote, man must be under the predomination influence of one or the other of two principles, which is flesh or the spirit, okay? And according as the one or the other has the mastery will be complexion of their life and the character of their actions. That's true, okay? Either you live according to the flesh, that's why you go to school, that's why you meet people, that's why you try to make money, that's why you buy things. That's why you want to get married. That's why you want to go to dental school. That's why you want to go to graduate school. That's why you want to go to high school. mastered by sin, flesh, or spirit. How do we know? Here's how we know. Charles Hodge is a great theologian. Here's the word. The bent of your thought. Bent of your thought. That's a great word. In other words, your thoughts, all of you and mine too, are bent one way, the other, curved. You just throw something there, it just curves according to your bent. Okay? Your bent of your thoughts and affection, which means you desire. That's why you want this. You want to go to graduate school. You want to go to high school. You want to go to college. Your affection, either flesh or the Spirit of God. And lastly, your pursuit, your volition. Exactly what we talked about. Okay? It's the only decisive test of your character. In other words, what do you think? How do you think? And what do you want? What do you desire? And how do you walk? How are you going to live? Okay? Let me slow down. Some of you are in your teens. Some of you in your 20s. Some of you are in your 30s. And then I'll stop there. Okay? 50s. You either live for the flesh or spirit, depends on your bent of your heart, your nature, in other words. Your nature. Listen to me. That's something that you cannot handle. Only God changes that. Do you hear me? Only God changes that. So I come to this conclusion. When you're in the flesh, you cannot help but to live for your flesh. You can't. When you're in the spirit, you cannot help but to live for the Spirit of living God. That's Christianity. And I don't know how you hear it right now, but to me that's very hopeful. That's the good news. Because if it all depends on me, I know me. I began to know me. More I know, I don't want to put my hope in me. I don't. I want to try, and I want to kind of demonstrate. But inside there is a struggle, just like Romans chapter 7, right? What a wretched man I am, right? What I want to do, I cannot do. What I don't, or I shouldn't do, I do. I see myself doing it. Oh, man. If everything is based on my performance and my decision, my strength, it's pretty much hopeless. But the gospel is God. God is. Spirit of God is. Okay, I hope you get this, okay? So can we talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit? Last week we talked about person of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is like a parent, remember? Some of us, I shouldn't say that, but I recently saw a YouTube video of one first grade kid, doesn't have a father, with two younger siblings living with a mother. Listen to me. Such a sad story. Okay? No father. It's not mentioned in this YouTube. I'm not sure whether he passed away or they got divorced. I'm not sure. So a mother with three children, and the first grade child is the oldest sibling. She goes to work, and this first grade kid wakes up two siblings and get them washed and dressed and have breakfast and take them to school, right? And then in the afternoon, she has a job. She has a job and she works. First grade in a little I don't know, what do you call that, TV selling company. She works, she has a job. Now she's singing in a singing competition. Basically, she's introducing herself, and judges are asking, what do you want to do with your life? And this first grader is saying this, I want to be successful and make a lot of money so that I could take care of my mom and my two younger siblings. And when I saw that, I was like, so, we were in, everybody's in tears. I want to grow up, and I want a success, and I want to take care of my mom. and I want to take care of my two younger siblings. And she sings about, I love you, Mom. And the whole audience is in tears. And this young girl, she doesn't even tear. She's really, really bright and very, very determined, and she sings. She sings really, really well. And I was just in tears watching that. Oh, man. Our heart, our mind, and our volition is bent. Okay? So, ministry of the Holy Spirit. First is regeneration or rebirth. Okay? That's how you become a Christian. And the passage that I want to introduce is a very important passage. John chapter 3. That's when Jesus started the ministry, and a person named Nicodemus, a Pharisee, which means he's very, very holy, quote unquote. He's very, very religious, not in a bad sense, but in a good sense. He knows the scripture. He's well-educated. He's the leader of the leaders of Sanhedrin. And he even has a desire to know more. That's why he came to Jesus. Okay, here's the conversation, if you could listen. Jesus answered Nicodemus, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Do you hear it? I mean, whatever Jesus says is true, of course. He doesn't need to say, truly, truly, I say to you. But he does that at times when he really wants to draw your attention. Truly, truly, I say to you, Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, then how can a man be born when he's old? I'm like, I don't know, 50 years old, 60 years old, 70 years old. How can I be born again? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Okay. And he's not being sarcastic, and he's not being he's just asking. He really trying to understand. And Jesus answered, key verse 5 and 6. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Let me pause. Okay? This is what Jesus said, people. What must take place with you for you to be born again and be saved? You must be born of the water and the Spirit. What is water? Probably, I believe it is the baptism. Romans chapter 6, being united with Christ. Die with Christ and live with Christ. And the Spirit. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. God revives you. And you must be born again. Unless you are born again, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. What does it mean to be born again? Okay? How many of you remember your birth? What kind of question is that, right? Yeah. You know, I seen birth. Okay? I did. Okay? Can you imagine with me? A fetus. Zygote, fetus. Remember these terms? In mother's womb. Okay? I don't know how big it is. It's not that big. This 6 or 7 pound, fully grown, 8 pound, little baby. So it's not that big. But you are in mother's womb for 9 months. And it's probably dark in there. And it's very slippery, okay? Fluidy. And you are well fed. If you live in America, right? You have nothing to worry about. You're very comfortable. It's not cold. It's warm. You are in the mother's bosom, in the womb. For 9 months, very comfortable. All you see is you. You don't even see anything else. You kind of hear mom, feel mom, supposedly, but all you see is you. You're in mother's womb for 9 months. Good place to be. And then after 9 months, something happens. Something that you don't know what is happening, but it is happening. You know what you feel? Your whole world is squeezing you. contraction begins. The movement begins. I'm going to die. What is going on? Right? And the real contraction begins. Right? Your whole world is shaking. You know you're going to die. Surely I'm dying. I don't know what's going on. And then you begin to hear, come on, John, come on out. Someone is calling you. Yeah. Come on, John, come on out. And someone grabs your head. Grabs your hair. I don't know. Right? And then pulls you out. Pulls you out. You're born. You thought you died. But you come to this world. Man, there is a world, new world. Right? And there is your mom. And there are people. And there is light. And there is life. You're born. What does it mean that you're born again, people? Are you born again? I think born again means your world changes. Completely change. Completely change. All you see is you. Now you see the world. All you have is darkness. Now there's a light. It was just the warmth and comfortable and fluidy, amniotic fluid, whatever, you know? Now, the world. Born again, people. I thought about this morning. Okay? Christianity is not about you. Christianity is about God. Could you think with me? Christianity is not about you. Although we try to approach Christianity in America very you-centered, seeker-centered. No. I really disagree with that. It centers around God. You are dust, Adama, remember? And you will go back to Adama. One day, your life will depart, and then you will go back to the dust. Your flesh will go back to the dust. Right? There is God. 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 Not what you created, God. Not your imaginative God. Not this is what I need of God. God. But God. Right? That's Christianity. Now, listen to me. And in light of that, you see you. You must see you in light of who God is. Then you're ready to be born again. Until then, you're not born again. You cannot be born again. You cannot. What must take place in one's heart and one's life? You must see God. And then you must see you. I really believe that. And how does that happen? Only two major players. It's the Spirit of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ, the truth. Okay? Born again. What happens when you're born again? You see there is God. You see His greatness. You see His glorious, glorious presence of God. And you're not. You know you're not. You know I am not. You know I'm a fragile person. You know I'm a very finite person. You know you could easily get hurt and you could easily get sick and you could easily just end. But He's not when you see that. And when you see yourself, and only by grace and by the Spirit of the living God, you see full of impossibility of your wicked sinfulness, hostility against that God, then you see Christ and the gospel. Then you could be born again. Right? But here's a statement, people. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Let's not be delusional. May nobody be delusional in this place. Please. I want to be as a shepherd of this church. I know this may not be the most culturally right thing to say, but this is the absolute truth. Because this is what the scripture says, this is what God says, and Jesus. Absolutely true. Or else you just chuck it. Forget this, people. Go! Do whatever you want to do. But I believe this is the absolute truth of God. Okay? So, what is the ministry of Holy Spirit? Your birth, your beginning. Regeneration, rebirth. Secondly, Holy Spirit seals. And third, I'm going to do this together. And Holy Spirit guarantees. Okay, stay with me. Okay? And the key verse is Ephesians 1:13. Can you pay attention? I'm going to read it. In Christ, you also, when you heard word of truth, like right now. Like right now. Are you listening? Don't fall asleep, people. Don't fall asleep. Okay? When you hear the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, if you're not saved, you must be listening right now. Okay? Gospel of your salvation and believe in him, you are sealed. Here's the word, sealed with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is the seal. Okay, I'm going to explain what that means. And verse 14, and Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee. We always want that, right? You buy something from, a store. What do you want? Guarantee. How long is the guarantee? We just replaced our water tank. Guarantee was only 6 years. I was like, oh man, only 6 years. We want 10 years. So we adjust that. You want guarantee, right? So Holy Spirit is the seal, and Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of God's glory. Do you have Holy Spirit with you? I'm really asking you. You have the seal of God. Do you have Holy Spirit in you? Youth group, right here. Do you have Holy Spirit in you? Not sure? No, seriously, I gotta ask this question. Holy Spirit. You know what seal is? In the ancient time, Greco-Roman world, this is what a seal is. Okay? There's a letter or document. Okay? And you put in an envelope. And you put a hot wax. I'm trying to explain a seal. Okay? Put hot wax. And then the person who's sending, who's sealing it, let's say king or prince, use their signet ring, which is like a signature to us. You kind of stamp it like this, seal it, okay? You seal that document. Who did that? The king or prince or the whoever is, who's sealing it, authenticating it. Someone with a signet ring, it's like a signature, and you seal it, okay? That's the seal. And Bible is saying Holy Spirit is that seal. What does that mean? When someone seals a letter or document, what does that mean? Number one, I want to start with authenticity. Meaning, someone with that signet ring who seals it, it means he is saying that this is authentic, real. When Holy Spirit seals you, God is saying you are real. You get it? Or else you are kind of like fake. Or I don't know what you are. Holy Spirit is a seal. Number two, okay? Ownership. When he is sealing that document, basically he's saying, I'm signing it, and it's mine. That's mine. I did it. You have Holy Spirit in you? God is saying, you are mine. You're mine. You belong to me. Okay? You belong to me. Isn't that wonderful? If someone you don't know, someone you cannot rely upon, if you don't really have any, you don't know who that person is, if that person seals it, then it doesn't make any sense. But Holy Spirit is a signature of God. Holy Spirit is basically saying, that's a real one. And he's mine. Okay, what else? Ownership and authority. When king signs it, you better not touch it. Or else you are declaring a war against that king. When God signs it, nobody could touch it. Okay? That's why in Romans chapter 8, who can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? Neither angel nor demons, neither present nor the future, right? Neither life or death, neither height nor a depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. You have Holy Spirit? You have the authority of God, people. Nobody could, mess with you. Let me put it that way. That's what seal is, okay? So it means security. The king secures you. And the king is saying, if you have the Holy Spirit, you're real. You're not a fake, okay? You're ownership. And God is saying, you're mine and authority, okay? So that's Holy Spirit seals and Holy Spirit guarantees. And I'm just going to be very brief on that, okay? It's like God is putting a down payment. Oh, I don't want to use that word because down payment is usually 20-30% for houses. But Holy Spirit is God, same essence. But the word that we are using in the scripture is Holy Spirit guarantees. Do you have the Holy Spirit? If not, you may not be his yet. Okay? And in fact, if you don't have him, you're not his yet. Okay? So Holy Spirit seals and Holy Spirit guarantees. And lastly, I want to spend a little bit of time what Jesus is teaching. It's in John chapter 16, okay? We talked about John chapter 14 last week, and John chapter 14, 15, 16 is one sermon, okay? John chapter 14, 15, 16 is the last sermon Jesus taught to the disciples a day before he died. So you know this means a lot. And his heart was troubled because he was about to go to the cross and experience hell for the believers. He literally did. For the sin he bore, and he took the wrath and punishment of God, which is what hell is, and he took it. Okay? Once and for all. He knew that was coming, so his heart was troubled, and he was troubled, and he is speaking to the disciples. Okay? He's speaking to disciples. What is he talking about? Holy Spirit. Okay? Let me read it to you. John chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage. He's speaking to this fearful disciples. It is to your advantage that I go away. Do you see this? I highlighted it, this sentence. Okay? Emphasis is mine. If you could just pause for a second what Jesus is saying. This is an incredible statement. Jesus is saying, it's better for me to leave. What could be better than Jesus? He's saying, it's better for me to leave. It's a huge statement. It's better for me to leave. What could be possibly better? That's what Jesus is trying to say. It's better for me to leave, for if I do not go away, the Helper, Parakletos, Holy Spirit, will not come to you. Do you hear it? Okay? And then he continues. When he comes, he will convict of the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. I'm going to explain that, okay? And who is that Holy Spirit who's going to be coming when Jesus go up to heaven? He's the Spirit of truth that comes. You know how he saves you? Through the truth, through the gospel. Are you listening? You know, it's amazing. We hear the same message, but we hear the different message. What are you talking about? One person speaks, but people get different message. What are you listening right now? Maybe you're in the flesh. All you can do is your thoughts are so bent, that's all you're hearing. Why is he so boring? Why is he so irrelevant? Why is he so serious? Or some of you may be thinking, man, this is breathtaking. This is breathtaking. Depends on what you're hearing. I really believe, I'm not a great, fun preacher or anything, but as I'm explaining, expositing the scripture, when the Spirit of God is ministering to your heart, I really do believe it is breathtaking. I really do believe. Okay? Spirit of truth. Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. When you read the Bible, you see the truth. In other words, when you're in flesh, you read it with your PhD degree, you still not understand it, and it doesn't interest you. You have no interest. In fact, you don't even have a desire to read. You know how one good sign of whether you're in the flesh or in the spirit? Do you desire to know the truth? I think that's a really good sign. Okay? I think that's a huge sign. Whether you are in the flesh, who needs salvation, or whether you are in the spirit, do I have any interest for the Word of God? Oh, not like, oh, I must read it so that I may be disciplined. No, not that. Your desire. Remember, your bent and your affection. You know, one of the things that I could testify with you right now is, you know, I've been a Christian for many years. And I've been kind of studious all my life. Kind of, okay? But let me just tell you something. For the last couple of years, cannot wait, get up in the morning, grab my morning coffee, and sit before my computer and read the scripture. I could really testify to you. I cannot wait. And anticipating God speaking and explaining the truth to me. And as shameful as it may sound, even as a pastor with a master's degree and whatever in theology, I'm learning new things every day, almost every day. And it excites me. Spirit of God, people. Spirit of God. Okay, Spirit of truth comes, and it's going to guide you like mom, like counselor, like a comforter, like a parent, to all the truth. In other words, without the Spirit, you do not understand any truth. Isn't that what it says? Right? For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you things that are to come. And here's a big sentence, okay? Listen. He will glorify me. He will glorify Jesus. Do you know how you could discern whether that is the Spirit of God or not? Is that Spirit? It is what is happening in this room, let's say. Does that glorify Christ or does it glorify something else other than Christ? Right? It's the Spirit of Christ, Spirit of truth, because Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the gospel. Jesus is the good news. And Holy Spirit magnifies and glorifies Christ. If I am full of Spirit, I would magnify Christ, not what I can do and what I know. Does that make any sense, people? I hope it makes sense to you, right? So I want to go back to this one sentence, okay? What does Holy Spirit do? He lives with you if you're a Christian. If you don't, you're not a Christian, it doesn't do that with you. But it needs to give you breath so that you will become a Christian. Regeneration, right? So that you could be born again. But when you're a Christian, he will convict you or the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Sounds like Romans, doesn't it? Sin, judgment, righteousness and judgment. Sounds like Romans, doesn't it? Maybe Romans has to do with Jesus. Right? Sin, what do you mean? Holy Spirit shows your sin. Remember I told you? When you see, it doesn't center around me. It's not about me going to high school or college. It's about God. Whole history is about God. And when you see God, and when you see in his light, when you see you, then you see sin. Spurgeon explained it like this. I love his expressions. When you are wearing a dark garment and you put a dark spot, you can't spot where the spot is. It's all dark. But when you are wearing a white garment, one little spot stands out. Do you hear it? When you are in complete darkness, you don't know which one is which. Holy Spirit cannot spot sin. It's all sin. But when you're washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, put a little spot. I mean, it's more than a spot, of course. We could see it. Yeah, I see it, Holy Spirit. The word convict here means bring to light. Or kind of like make it visible for you to see. Then what do? You know, oh man, I'm an impossible man. I'm an unrighteous man. So what do? You look to your righteousness, Christ. He's my righteousness. I am who I am because of him in the first place. And what do with the spots? You know, like a leper, what do? I look to my righteousness and ask for cleansing. He was condemned. He was judged. God condemned your sin on the cross. So there is no more condemnation with you. So you look to Christ. Holy Spirit says, hey, son, you are my beloved. You're mine. You belong to me. Why don't you live for me? Don't live for foolish things. Live for me. Live for me. That's what I want to do. And I was sharing, I met different people throughout this week. That's what I want to do. My goal is, once I'm done with whatever the role that I need to do here in New York, I want to be used, continue to be used. I do. It's my goal. Okay? Holy Spirit, bring it to light so that you will look to Christ. That brings sanctification. That you belong to God. Okay, just one last. This is John chapter 16 as well. And Jesus all of a sudden, right before he died, this is John chapter 16, and he talks about birth. Sort of like born again, okay? Let's see what he says. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hours has come. But she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers that anguish for the joy that a human being has been born into the world or born again into the world. So also, you have sorrows now, but I will see you again. And the hearts will rejoice and no one will take your joy from you. Anybody ever given a birth? I know there are a few of you. So many people say this, I'm never going to have another baby. That was such a difficult delivery. And then when the baby's born, they forget, have a second child. Right? People, the joy of being born again. Do you know what that feels like? I really want to ask you, do you know what that feels like? Don't turn your thing off right now, please, because your eternity hangs on it. Your really eternity hangs on it. You went to church all your life. Some of you, I know you did. Thinking that I'm a Christian. I teach in Sunday school. I'm pretty faithfully going to church. But one day God opens your ear. And when you begin to hear the truth, because only through the truth and the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit, you could come to life. Okay? And you see the birth and you see the joy. You have sorrow, but when the baby is born, you see the joy. That's the kind of ministry we need to do, people. When there is a birth, that house is in celebration. Amen? When there is a birth, every day I cannot wait until get home, see the baby. There's a celebration. So it is with the church. If there's a new birth, there's going to be joy. You know why coming to church is a drudgery? Because you do not know this experience. Okay? I'm not going to read everything, just this part. Martin Luther declared that he constantly preached justification by faith alone because he said the people would forget it. Okay? So that I was obligated almost to knock my Bible against their heads. Talk like Koreans, like, I'm going to use my Bible to knock your head. Salvation is by grace and grace alone. Okay? This is Englishman, okay? And to send it to their hearts. So it is true. We constantly forget that salvation is by grace, people. We constantly forget that it's not about you. You will never get it if you do that. It's about Him. Salvation is about His glory. Your flesh will all go to Adama. You will. You will. I promise you. Okay? Brothers and sisters, what must take place in you for you to be born again and have salvation? You must see that glorious kingdom of God, the greatness of God. And in light of that, you must see you. Then you will turn to Christ. You will gladly surrender everything to Christ. You will not be nervous about surrendering everything to Christ. You will not be nervous about surrendering lordship to Jesus Christ. So many people, what about me? What about my money? What about my talent? What do you got compared to who He is? Right? When you see Him, and then in light of Him, when you see you, you will gladly. And today I ask you to do that. Today, I ask you to do that. You know, just a couple days ago, we had a Friday night Bible study. And it's a good group. Some of them are slow, but they're a good group. Yeah. I'm kidding. I love that Friday night. We spent 7 months now. We spent last 15 minutes exhorting people to don't just kind of stay. Like almost, because you're still heading toward destruction. You're still in the flesh. But go all the way. All the way. Have you done it? Have you done it? Have you surrendered everything to Christ? Hello? Have you? Seriously, I gotta ask you. Have you been born again? Unless you're born again of the truth and the Spirit and the water, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Okay? Spirit of God, through the mighty working of the truth. You may have went to church all your life thinking that I'm a Christian. I do all these Christian things. I teach in Sunday school. Maybe still in the flesh. Only when God opens your eyes, awakens your soul, and breathes life unto you, that we could come alive. Okay? And have salvation. Let's bow.